Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Superpower State of Mind with me, Marlon Anderson. This podcast is all about hearing from incredible people, the incredible journeys they've been on, and how they found light and inspiration in some of the most traumatic and dark moments of their lives. Today's guest is someone I feel lucky enough to call a friend, Sophia Viraghi. Sophia and her partner welcomed their daughter, Azalea, in 2020, but lost her 8 months later. Sophia and I explore how you carry on living after the passing of someone so, so precious. Expect tears of sorrow, tears of joy, and sharing lots of happy memories. Here's a warning, though, that some might find elements triggering, but please stay with us as it's worth the journey. Before we hear myself and Sophia, please follow on your favourite podcast app so you never miss a future episode of Superpower State of Mind with me, Marlon Anderson.
Thank you so much, firstly, Marlon, for having me.
I'm excited to have you on here because we share something in common, and obviously that's losing a child. And I remember following your journey and thinking, I want to reach out to her, but I'm not going to do it yet because I knew how it felt like. It felt so overwhelming when Concy died and so many people were trying to talk to me, offer their condolences. And I was thinking, I'm going to wait a little bit. And I remember reaching out to you and, you know, trying to offer you a bit of support and say kind of how I got through it. And watching your journey from then on to now and how you just take each day as it comes and you get up every morning and you find that motivation, I just think that you are the inspiration. Forget me. You are the inspiration and I'm in awe of that. And I have you on here today because I want you to share with everybody else, all the females, all the males.
Are you making me cry already?
No, stop. No, don't. You're going to make me cry. And I want you to show them your superpower, and that is your strength in all of this.
Yeah.
And I know it's quite daunting having to speak about the same thing over and over again because I so relate when I'm doing interviews or podcasts and I'm speaking about it. It just wells me up with emotion and you relive it again. It's like when I wrote my book, you know, and I was writing about domestic abuse, baby loss, whatever it was. You're reliving that moment. But in my eyes, it's like therapy almost. When I talk about it and I help somebody, I know that one person that I may have helped is gaining from that.
100%.
So I know that you right now are going to be saving someone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you saying that really resonates with me so much. And the fact that you gave me that pause zone when it was just coming in floods and floods, it wouldn't have gave me that time to probably absorb it. So I appreciate like that hold back.
Yeah.
And then now being able to deliver and doing this podcast with you, it's really special. So many people are going through this journey and so many people are alone. And I find that even though I had Ashley as a partner, I was on my own through COVID.
Yeah.
And experiencing this journey is something that we need to talk about more. Even though it brings and triggers them pains, I feel like talking about it and expressing yourself can really help another person that feels lonely, because I did. And I think that's why when you reached out to me, I actually felt, oh, wow, like she actually gets it.
Yeah.
There's so many people out there that can empathise and probably couldn't even think about losing their child. But to know that you actually have as well, I feel like I'm on a different wavelength and frequency with you.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really great to be able to communicate with you.
Why do you think it's such a taboo topic and nobody wants to speak about it? Because I'll be real, after I lost Concy, you know, people around me were just walking on eggshells. They didn't know what to say. They were like trying to avoid the situation and, you know, not speak about her in case it'd make me upset. But in my mind, I just wanted to talk about her. I wanted to speak about her and, you know, the funeral was done, and I just feel like everybody kind of just closed it off from that point onwards. And I'm not going to lie, speaking to you about baby loss is quite weird for me because I actually haven't interviewed anyone on child loss, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's quite hard for me right now speaking to you because I can weirdly see pain in your eyes still. No, I can. I can feel that sadness, and
that energy that I'm feeling from you is what I feel too every day. And when people read about baby loss and grief, they don't understand that grief is something we live with every single day. Mm-hmm. No matter if it's a day, 2 days, a year. And we want to speak about it. We want to talk as if they're here right now. So why do you feel like it's why is it a taboo topic? Why doesn't anybody want to talk about it?
I feel like it's a taboo topic because it's such a painful thing to talk about. And I think people are worried of showing emotion. Men are worried about showing emotion.
Yeah.
Women are scared to talk about their pain to strangers. And I think me sharing Azalea's journey on my Instagram opened so many avenues to people. And people really, really understood. And I mean, I've met people, multiple people, that don't talk about their losses to their own family.
Yeah.
But yet when they see me, because they know I'm so open about it, they talk, they cry.
Yeah.
They let it out and they can't even believe that they've done that because they're not used to doing it around the people they love the most.
Yeah, definitely. The thing that I found was the trauma that we endure during that process. So for me, she was only alive for 4 weeks. You had longer, so you got to have her personality and her with you and her cuddles and, you know, the warmth of her soul.
Mm.
And that to me is harder. I know each situation is different, but now I've got Zaya and she's here and she's a few months old. I could not imagine her not being here anymore, right? So that pain that you endured and that trauma, how have you kind of got through that now, the other side, where you wake up each day and you've got to focus on what positives you've got? How do you do it?
So as I always say when I'm interviewed by anybody, and this comes from like my heart and my soul, that the Azalea Foundation is what keeps me going. And to know that I'm helping so many children and families in that same position is the only thing that probably kept me on this earth.
Yeah. Are there things that trigger you on a day-to-day basis sometimes?
Yeah, like when I open my eyes in the morning, it doesn't matter what day it is, whether I've got a day ahead, like today where I'm meeting you and you're so incredible. They're great things to look forward to, but when I open my eyes in the morning, that pain rushes straight through. I kind of feel like I automatically feel drowned and lost and need to kind of swim back up to the top.
Yeah.
I get triggers throughout the day. I do aesthetics, and when I take needles out, injections, yeah, numbing things, like I work with medical equipment, even just putting on latex gloves. They were the things that I was having to put latex gloves on to do Azalea's bum because she had chemotherapy. So like these are huge trigger points where when somebody else is just watching me, it's just a day-to-day thing of what I'm doing. But these trigger points, it's learning how to overcome these fears. And for me, overcoming being around children. Children was a huge thing. Yeah. I had my nephew, I've got other family members with children. It was really difficult to allow that barrier to come down because I felt like, oh, you should be playing with Azalea. We was meant to be doing this, we was meant to be doing that. My pain and my fear with children, I had to overcome it. And by doing that, I've now done Wear Orange for Azalea, where I now go into children's schools. I teach children to be kind. I teach them to bring light to each other's light. There's so many children that are actually in school with depression, childhood depression. I couldn't believe how huge that is. The amount of children that get bullied and picked on continuously. I didn't want them poorly children that are going into school with no hair, feeding tubes in their nose. I didn't want them to be bullied. I didn't want them to be picked on. And creating a community where children are supporting one another is where I felt like I could bring comfort in myself, knowing I'm doing, turning that pain into purpose and allowing children back into my life. Yeah.
Do you feel like the barrier that you have up in terms of having another child, do you think that's going to go, or are you only just kind of seeing life what it is kind of now and taking each day as it comes?
So my barrier's up right now, but I would love to lower that. I would love to be a mother on earth. I feel like that's in me. Love nurturing. Most definitely I would love to.
Aside the helping, because I fully relate to this. You know, I speak about the traumas, I talk about it, and I know I'm helping somebody else. But at the end of the day, behind closed doors, it's just me that's in my bedroom alone. And it's me that's got to wake up and face the day. No one else is going to get me out of bed. No one else is going to tell me, come on, Marlon, you know, it's me that's got to do it. So what do you do for your mind, for your mental health? What do you do that helps you to get you focused and in a good state of mind to face the coming days?
So when I wake up...
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On The Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On The Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I kind of just take that pause zone. I allow myself about 15, 20 minutes in bed now before I get out. I never used to do that before. I used to get out of bed and I would just be erratic.
Yeah,
I would be absolutely erratic. I found to take that time in bed, wake up, do my morning prayers to Rosalia, centralise my energy and my emotions and my feelings. And if I needed to cry, spend that time crying, spend that time praying, spend that time communicating with Azalea and just really centralising all my energies to be able to wake up. And then as I wake up, then I feel like I become erratic in cleaning. Like, yeah. I turn to cleaning.
Yeah.
It was because my mind was so messy and then my surroundings around me, I had to clean it because it was the only thing that, yeah, I was in control of.
You sound just like me. This is so weird. It goes quiet and there's no one around me, and yeah, then the pain comes flooding in.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. And there's times where I stand in the shower. I take that routine of I wake up and then don't even have breakfast, just kind of do my cleaning and centralise, yeah, myself and take this like frustration almost out on the cleaning, which is great because the house always looks clean. And then when I take a shower, I kind of have that reflection moment again. So I spend a good amount of time first by cleaning. And I used to take really, really good care of myself prior to Azalea, like appearance, shoes, hair, makeup, everything that us girls always do. Going to the gym, always wanting a better and look better all,
yeah,
the time.
Same.
And for me, after losing Azalea, as long as my hair was clean and my body was washed and I had fresh clothes on, I gained weight, so I lost my confidence. It makes you feel inadequate as a woman.
100% it does.
And you feel like your self-esteem just completely goes and you don't know who you are anymore.
You feel like you've lost yourself with,
yeah,
your daughter 100%,
too. Yeah, 100%, yeah. And to know how to start turning all of that pain, and where do you put it? Like, I didn't want to be here. I was driving my car sometimes and I would think, oh my God, I wish that car would just whack the side of me, yeah, and just take me, yeah, off the road. I wish that, like, I just didn't wake up. I was really just wishing and hoping that I wasn't here anymore. And just expressing myself and roller coasters of going down to Azalea's garden. I would spend so much time at her garden. I couldn't call her resting place her grave. It's probably the, yeah, first time I've actually called it that, just so you guys can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
I called it her garden, and that was because it's a garden for her to look down,
yeah,
on. It's a safe place for me to go on to see that beauty, even in that pain.
Can I ask you something? Do you feel her? Do you feel her energy?
Yeah,
her,
all
her
the
spirit?
Time.
Because,
yeah,
I'm a very spiritual,
yeah,
person, right? And when I lost my little girl, I knew there was a reason. I had to put a reason behind it. I used to think, you know, if her dad, if she was alive, I would have been with her dad and I would have been in an abusive relationship. She would have been in my life and I would have been with him and I wouldn't have been able to get rid of him or get out of that. And I remember when she opened her eyes once and she looked at me, I just felt this sense of, Mum, I love you, but I'm going to go now, but I'm here to kind of save you in a weird sense. So the way that I work around things is I have to put a reason behind everything and I have to kind of be like, she was here, but she's not here now because there's a reason for it. You know, I might not know it now, but I feel her every day. Like, I feel her energy and her spirit. And when I meditate, I can feel, you know, there's feathers everywhere when I'm walking. I look at the butterflies, the sky, the sun pours through every day with me when I'm going for a run. And I step back, I take a breath, and I let that sun just shine down on my face. And that, to me, is part of my grieving process, you know, looking for the beauty in little things and trying to feel her presence.
Oh, most definitely. That brings me, like, the biggest comfort. And anybody that's followed our journey, like, look for orange skies, azalea. Orange skies, some people don't know the reason behind the colour orange, and that signifies leukemia, childhood cancer, leukemia. And I always, it's really funny, actually, because it happened to me yesterday. When I was in hospital, I kept seeing rainbows, and because I didn't have the awareness of childhood cancer, it was drawings of rainbows.
Yeah.
I used to think, why do the children always draw rainbows? But I know, like, singing in school, you kind of like sing about the rainbow, but I didn't get it. And then I kept thinking, well, after the storm, I could read it on the things in the hospital, comes a rainbow. And I thought, well, where is my rainbow? And I was on FaceTime to Azalea's Auntie Nikki last night, and I said to her, I FaceTimed her, and I said, this is what it means. I said, it's the rainbow. It's when the time when I see the rainbow is after Azalea has passed. So she shows me that her energy and her light is still here.
100%.
And I have a small little bag down at Azalea's garden when feathers land on her garden. And the other day, I was praying. A white feather was just literally there. Last night, I was crying down at Azalea's garden, put my hood up, it was raining, and somebody shouted, Saf, look behind. And it was a rainbow, and I was talking and connecting with her so much. And then when I got back to my house, when I left her garden, the rainbow had disappeared. And I got back to my house and I thought, oh, it's really funny because there always used to be a rainbow to the left. And then when I got out of the car, the rainbow was there, and I stood in that rain and got drenched. And it was just such a beautiful sign
for me. I bet it felt liberating though.
Yeah, it really did.
When my mum died, I was born, raised a Christian, right? We went to Sunday school, I believed in God, and as soon as I saw her body in the morgue and I saw her dead body, I kind of took a step back, and I remember just flicking her nose, and it was like just rock solid. And I kind of had this weird feeling inside me, and I thought, her soul's not in here. She's not there. That's just her body. It's a shell. And I felt like there was suddenly more to life. I felt like a cold shiver around me, and I started Googling, what's the meaning to life? What is there? Is there more to life? Are spirits real? Are souls? Blah, blah, blah. And then I started seeing feathers. I started seeing 12-12, 11-11, 13-13.
12-12.
Synchronicity.
12. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Synchronicity all the time. And then I'd be like, what does this number mean? Then I saw birds. I'm constantly seeing eagles. Eagles like my spirit animal, right? So I'm seeing kites, buzzards, eagles in the sky. I'm seeing doves. And then I'm seeing ladybugs. And I'm like, why am I keeping seeing ladybugs all the time?
Yeah.
And so I just felt like I was on this path to my mind being woke. That's that term, woke, of opening up my consciousness to the universe around me and the law of attraction. And so I hate the phrase law of attraction. Obviously it comes from The Secret, and that was the first book that I read, and I know you've read it, but that is just kind of a strategic way of using your mind as a powerful tool. But what it all is about is aligning with your truest, highest self, vibing at a high frequency, and attracting everything that's meant to be in your life into your life at the right time, right place. Tell me your journey around that.
So it started when I was little. I remember always feeling like I had this, like feeling around me of like there was an aura around me, but it was like I felt like somebody was always watching me, and it was like really strange. I mean, like from little, I used to like look the other way, and I used to think, like, what is that? But I wasn't conscious enough. I didn't know about a subconscious mind. I was far too young.
Yeah.
And I knew that there was something around me that exists. And I used to see the time 11-11. And this is before, like, social media became around.
Yeah.
And it was kind of out there, and people were starting to go, oh, yeah, I see that too. Yeah. And it was really crazy because I used to see this time, and I kept seeing it often and often. And I thought, I'm going to start making a prayer at 11:11. There is a huge sign here. And so I used to see it. And I used to go like, anybody I was with, I'd be like, it's 11:11, shh. or I'd go out the way and they'd think, she's crackers. they'd literally look at me like I was crackers. And I remember going, Instagram started and I just started using Instagram. And I put 1111 on my bio.
Yeah.
And not that I knew that anybody understood it. And this girl said to me one day, oh, you've got 1111 in your bio. She said, have you ever Googled that? And I was like, no, because it was something that I had within me. So I just didn't even know. I thought, why would I even Google it? Because it weren't even like you, why would I Google it? Because it was in my head.
Yeah.
And then she went, yeah, it's to do with the angels. And like, and then started like really like talking on it. I thought, no way. For literally, I'm talking 10 years.
Oh my.
This was happening to the point where I knew I had to start making a prayer. And then one of my friends introduced me to The Secret and was like, do you know that you radiate this book so much? Have you read it? And I hadn't read The Secret. And when I read The Secret, I thought, there's a higher power.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a higher power out here and it's been given to me. And I know that there's awareness, there's spirituality. And when Azalea passed and I was in I was in like the Chapel of Rest, when I was in the room, I knew her soul hadn't left her body. I knew it hadn't. And I'm talking, I was talking to her and talking to her. I'd visit like 5-6 times a day and I would keep going down and the place was so amazing. And I would go and see her. I knew her soul was still here.
Yeah.
I would be talking to her like I would. I remember the day when I went in there and I knew her soul had left. And I knew she was rested.
You know that they say that their souls aren't ready to leave yet until their mother kind of is ready for that?
Yeah. And it's crazy how you say this, because the day Azalea passed is the morning when I woke up and I went downstairs and I said, today is the day.
I did exactly the same. I've got
today
goosebumps.
Is
I've got
the day.
Here.
Today is the day. I know she is leaving today. And I remember just being looked at as in to say, like, yeah, okay, like we know it's coming soon, but I knew today. And it was that morning she passed. And I knew when I walked into her chapel, I knew when her soul had left. And I couldn't not leave. I used to go every day and lights would flicker.
Yeah, energy.
Yeah,
electric.
It was the energy. It's the electric. And I always say, no matter how crazy somebody thinks I am, do you know what? When we're up there and I meet you up there, I'm going to say, do you know every time you told me I was bloody nuts and cuckoo, then here we go.
And do you think Azalea passing has opened up your mind even more to that now?
Huge.
Yeah,
huge.
So it's made
my
huge.
Brother was so closed. His mind was so closed. And I used to say to him, no, it's this, there's this, there's this. But you can't prove it with something in your hands.
No.
And he wouldn't feel the energy. Now he believes. And I always used to sing When You Believe Whitney Houston to Azalea. And I always believe that there must be something. And when you're pregnant, you don't, when you're pregnant, your child doesn't know that there's this huge earth in front of them. They don't know that they're going to be born into this big world. Now I see Azalea is on the other flip side and I'm only inch away.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. A huge thanks to Skin and Me for supporting this episode of Superpower State of Mind. Skin and Me is the personalised skincare solution you need in your life. I have them in mine and they're fantastic. They deliver treatment for your specific skin concerns, tailored just to you. It's powerful, personalised skincare that truly does work. Skin and Me blends scientifically proven active ingredients to deliver your best skin in a single product that's sustainable, vegan, and cruelty-free. All you've got to do is simply take an online consultation, share some filter-free selfies, and their expert dermatology team will tailor a personalised solution that evolves with your skin and targets your skin goals. It could be acne, pigmentation, skin ageing, or more. Skin and Me is packed with ingredients you can't buy over the counter. Happy, healthy skin is just a few clicks away at skinandme.com. Get your first month for just £3.50 with the code SUPERPOWER, normally £24.99 per month. Reformulate your solution as your skin evolves at any time for free, subject to dermatological assessment. So get your first month for just £3.50 using the code SUPERPOWER. Just going back to the self-esteem thing, because I think a lot of women will appreciate this. When I gave birth and I had an emergency C-section, so I was a little
same.
Bit different. Oh, you did?
Yes. Ah, yeah.
God damn, I just left. I was like, oh shit, it's like a little, I've got another one.
The little
now.
Pouch.
Yeah. And when she passed, I remember just looking in the mirror and thinking, yo, I've got all the signs of a baby, but nothing's here. My hair's starting to fall out.
Mm.
I've got this scar.
Yeah.
Milk was coming out my boobs. I remember sitting in the bath and milk was leaking. And I was thinking, but where's my child to feed her?
Yeah, oh wow.
And I just felt like so useless and empty. And when you said about looking after your appearance and stuff, that was at the least of my mind as well.
Yeah.
I just thought, who have I become and what's happened to me in a sense? But in a really weird way, I thought nothing matters to having such a precious life in front of you.
Yeah.
How you look like.
No,
you know,
I didn't
care.
The
clothes you wear, designer handbags. I thought, that's all bullshit.
Yeah, literally.
You know, and it really puts things into perspective. Do you feel like Azalea passing away has changed your life in a way where you view things completely differently?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like I'm such a greater woman now.
Yeah.
She turned me into a woman. Before, I think my mind was so narrow and closed that now having a platform that's so huge and to use it for the right reasons is what I will continue to do. And now, you know, if I've got a little roll, I've got a little roll. If I'm enjoying
honey,
my Krispy Kremes, I'm enjoying them.
Here.
Yeah,
I was just munching away and I was thinking, who cares?
Do you know what? Like right now, because that used to be such a thing that I would care about when I was younger. It's just that you've not experienced life. You're still in that like
in a bubble.
In that bubble. Whereas now I'm out of that. I feel like, you know, your soul is the most beautifulest thing that you could ever hold. Kindness, happiness, and just radiating good vibes and good energy is worth more than how you look. And you should be accepted 100%. In society for your soul, your energy, and not for your appearance. We shouldn't be judged on that.
100%. But it's, to me, it's so sad that I had to go through a load of crap and shit to see that.
To see that, yeah.
But that's when I say, you know, that when she passed and my mum passed, I just saw life differently.
Yeah.
It was like someone had given me some glasses and were like, you know, wear this, Marlon. This is what life is about.
Yeah.
And weirdly, you know, I've been exercising and stuff, more for my mental health.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I see so many women and men on social media. They give birth, they try and snap back in, you know, and
there's
that's
so
all they
much
focus
pressure.
About. There's so much pressure.
So much pressure. And that for me, you know, like really put me in a dark place of thinking that, you know, I need to snap back. But I'm thinking, but I'm in hospital. And then I was always conscious. And do you know what? I was really kind to myself. Do you know what? I put it all in a bag. I threw it out the window. I was in the baggiest sweats.
Yeah.
Top knots on my hat. I even embraced it on my socials
you
to say, like, you know, like that top knot.
Yeah.
You know, I really, really like embraced that. And I thought, do you know what? I don't care if I've gained weight. I don't care if I've got a top knot on my head and my hair's not curled. I do not care.
But this is why we love you. Yeah, when I follow your stories, you'll wake up and you'll give the most like beautiful speeches, but coming from your heart on how you feel in that very moment. We don't see that anywhere.
No.
You know? And I think that social media can be so toxic and create such a false narrative that the younger generation are buying into it.
Mm.
And they're looking at all these influencers or celebrities and thinking, oh, my life isn't good enough. I want to be like that.
Yeah.
But when we have influencers like you, I hate the word influencer. I fucking hate it because, you know, we have inspirations like you. You know, the younger lot will see that and be like, oh my God, maybe I am enough. You know, she's being her truest self and maybe I can do that too. But speaking of social media, it's such a toxic place. Have you had any negativity amongst all the chaos that you've been through, all that heartbreak? Have you had negativity trolling? Because I know I fucking did. I had some fucked up shit sent to me. Like madness.
It's crazy. We have a huge community that are behind us, and like I respect each and every person that I meet every single day, whether I'm in Asda, just down the street. Whenever I bump into anybody, I give people all that time to speak and thank them for supporting Azalea and us as a family. And we've really experienced so much beauty in that and experience in a community that's huge, that's worldwide. You know, we had Niagara Falls lighting up orange for Azalea. You know, it was
the Burj Khalifa, no?
I know. It's just unbelievable. Like every monument around the world was lighting up orange for Azalea. So we've experienced an amazing support from the community. But on the flip side of it, you always will get that one person. And for me, I, as much as people can really allow that to affect you at first, I was overwhelmed that, wow, how can you pick on somebody that's lost a child? I've shared my journey. You've seen the pain that we've gone through. I'm grieving. I'm trying to set up a foundation that will help families and children. And you've got something to say and be so cruel. I let it affect me probably for a small period. And then I thought, you know what? If somebody's coming at you and you're telling you you're green and you're not green, you're like, okay, come on, pull the other one, mate.
Yeah.
So for me, I kind of started visualising it in that way. Can I sleep at night? Yes, I can sleep at night. Am I coming with clear energy? Is my daughter looking above and knowing that she's proud of her mummy? Yeah. Yes, she is. Would we be any other way than pure? No, we wouldn't.
I love
is
that
God
word.
Watching me?
Yeah.
Is my energy? Is my 11-11s when
yeah,
I...
Yeah, intentions
my,
are pure, honey.
Yeah,
that
like,
is it.
All of this is such a powerful thing that I believe in, and karma.
Yeah.
That I thought, do you know what? If you want to come and knock at my door and you want to hold a gun to my head, I'm going to close that door. I'm not going to allow you in. But if you're going to knock on the door and you've got greatness, and I'm going to allow you in, come in. You know, it's whether you allow that to come in.
You know, the brightest of light attract darkness.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. When you're, I call it light work.
Yeah.
So you are a light and you're working in light, right?
Yeah.
And you're spreading so much light amongst things that aren't spoken about. And so you're a beacon of light.
Yeah.
And this negativity, they want to attach onto it. Because they're vibing so low that they have no adequate self-worth in their own life. And this is what I always say to people that get bullied or trolled, you know, it's a reflection of them and where they're
100%.
At. But instead of like reacting, and I think reaction is a big thing where we want to, you know, I would love to just reply and be like, fucking prick. I'm sending them so much love and light, and I'm like, girl, I feel sorry for you that you have to feel like that. I remember someone say, oh, you're profiting off your dead child, or your mate. And I had so much to pull the tube out of her already.
Yeah.
I had so much weird shit sent to me. And I'm thinking, yo, you're not all right. Like,
do you know what? Without you, without you sharing that, because people will come. I do have journalists that do ask me, you know, would you share your journey? And I tell them 100 times over, I would share my journey. My daughter got over 80,000 people on the register for Anthony Nolan and DKMS. She has saved and helped to save so many lives. Her charity, her inspiration has changed so many lives. I would do that all over again, because
100%.
What she did in her 8 months on earth, we can't even achieve in our lifetime. So yes, I would.
And you will never be silenced. And that's what they want. The haters want that. They want it silenced.
Do you know what I think? Do you know like how you say it's a reflection on them?
Yeah.
When somebody brings bad energy in, it just shows that, do you know what? It's great that there's people like us that will speak about it, because there's people that are going to listen to this podcast now and they're going to listen and think, wow, do you know what? Like, I've got them bullies that are attacking me. I don't feel so confident about myself. I've lost, it might not be a child. It could be your mother. It could be your auntie, your uncle. It could be anybody that you've lost. It could be a pet that you've lost. Something that's been close to you. And you know what? You can really turn that around and you can bring that light and turn your pain into purpose.
Definitely. Going back to you saying that, you know, when you'd be out and about, children, babies, they'd trigger you. I remember whenever I'd see a push pram, right, I'd be like, I felt sick inside and be like, why is that not me? Where is she?
I still can't even look at that.
No, I thought so. And the weirdest thing is when I became pregnant again, it didn't sit right with me. I didn't feel any joy. I didn't feel love. I felt like overwhelmed. But that pregnancy was like the worst thing for me ever. It was full of anxiety. I felt sick. It brought up so much grief, so much PTSD. And a lot of healing took place in the last year for me. Growing another baby was so hard. And even when she was born, I suffered with postnatal because I was looking at her thinking, where's my other one? You know, and then thinking, you know, and it felt really strange for me. Can you imagine having another child? Or do you think that's at the back of your mind at the minute and you just want to focus on the Azalea Foundation?
Yeah, I think it was really interesting to hear you say that, because like for me, knowing that you've gone and experienced baby loss, and having another child, I was actually like really interested. I wanted to ask you a million questions.
Yeah, go for it, go.
And I thought I can't ask her that, like, because I don't want to trigger it. But
then
I thought, oh, like, maybe I should, or that, like now it was kind of like, you know, when I heard the news that you was pregnant, I was like, oh my God, I bet she's over the moon. She's so excited, which obviously you would be. But I thought at the same time, it's like, oh, I feel like you're, it's really crazy. I feel like you're a mile in front of me in this journey.
It's so, I know what you mean.
And I feel like I'm watching my big sister like experience something that I think, oh, like, let me see how she's coping.
Yeah.
Because there isn't anybody out there, and for me, I've never had anybody to speak to on a serious note that really has gone through this pain. So to watch you do that and experience pregnancy, it's like, how did you feel when, you know?
It's mad because everyone says, oh, you're going to get your rainbow baby constantly. Rainbow baby this. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, okay, why don't I feel that happiness then? Like, you know, should I be like really excited? And I remember just going to hospital like every other week. Oh, she's not moving. But it's all in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why am I not connecting properly? There's something stopping me here and I don't know why. And obviously our bodies are full of hormones, right? It's hormones are crazy during pregnancy and after and before. Like, and when she was born, I looked at her and I fell in love with her, but I felt a disconnect and I couldn't even explain it. And I was just functioning. I was a little bit like a zombie in a weird way. And I remember crying. I cried for my mum a lot because I missed her. And I felt like, where's my mum? I need my mum in my life right now. And I was wondering, I was like, why give me this child if I'm not going to connect with her? Why are you doing this? I'd rather not have one at all. I'd rather just, you know, just be me, independent Marlin, on her own. Cool. Just give it to me. I can handle that any day.
Mm.
I've done it already. And honestly, it took time. Zaya was put in my life to kind of learn how to love myself properly. And understand that I don't need anyone else to give me that love. It has to come from me. I can't rely on me having a baby to fulfill that space. Of course, she's filled a void. You know, she watches movies with me at night, but at the end of the day, it's always going to be me that has to love me, you know? And it was interesting because I bonded and I've connected with her, but it took that bit of time. And when people say to you, oh, you're having a rainbow baby, or you're going to have another one, you don't need to hear that shit. Like, you know, you might not want another one.
Mm.
So for me to say to you, just focus on what you're doing now and just keep smashing it, because when the time is right, it will happen. The universe will just put in your life.
Yeah, because that's really interesting to hear, because it was like, for me, I always wanted Azalea to have a brother or a sister. And I remember the first time a journalist actually asked me, are you going to have another child? And I felt like it was a huge smack in my face, because at that particular time, I didn't really know. Yeah, very, very soon. And I went for a reading, because I'm so spiritually connected. I love a reading. After Azalea passed, I went for my readings and whatever. And I went for this reading, and this lady said to me, she's a lady that lives in the middle of nowhere, that doesn't have internet and social media. I think that's why I love it even more, because I think a lot of people followed my journey, and I know that you're just going to say it because you've seen it. But this lady literally lives in the middle of nowhere. She's got a dog. She's got no signal. and I'm like, yes, great, this woman. And she said to me about that, like, I lost a child. And she said, darling, your daughter would have wanted a brother or sister, and you would not replace her. You would be giving her her brother or sister. And I felt like having another child, I would be replacing, like, oh my God, no, I can't replace Azalea. I would never replace Azalea. You'd be having an addition.
Yeah.
And so many people out there probably are listening, have got children, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you don't love any of them any less.
No.
You love them in different ways.
Definitely.
So for me, I would love to have another child again and experience that. And I think that's why I watch you in a way of I admire you, because I think, oh, how's she coping? Oh, or like, if I got pregnant again, I think, oh, okay, well, yeah, like, Marlon was saying that, like, yeah, you're going to feel like that. And, you know, like the day of birth, like, okay, yeah, she did mention that. And that's great for me to have somebody to look up to, because it's like other people look at me for inspiration. and I looked for you because I feel like you're like a big sister on a step forward. And there needs to be more people that speak about it, because it helps me knowing that it's watching you. And for the other person, they can look to me, and then now they've heard this, they can look to you. Do you know,
that is
vice
what
versa.
Spreading the light is all about. Yeah. Just being a beacon for people to look up to.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And obviously, you're not with Ash anymore, but you're really good friends, as you mentioned earlier. Can you see yourself kind of meeting someone as well in the future? You know, just like not putting yourself out there, but like just seeing what happens. Because after I lost little one and I got out of that toxic relationship, the last thing I wanted to do was date again. I was put off by men for life, literally. And I just found myself more. Do you think you're on this journey of just finding yourself now and just doing you?
I think a man is the last thing on my mind.
Yeah. you'd say that.
And I think, I think as you get older and you have more experience in life, when you're younger, you feel like, oh, I need a boyfriend.
Oh, my God, all the time.
And then you realise that, like, boys mess with your head.
Yeah, take your
words off. You have to pick up after them. You've got to wash up after them. No, I'm joking.
Why are they a primer, are they?
exactly.
All that shit.
So for me, like, I have such a deep connection with Ashley, and we've got a great friendship now. We have shared an incredible journey together, and we have so much respect for one another. And for me, finding another partner isn't even in my direction right now. And I want to find myself, learn me, learn my new purpose in life, learn and grow at the minute, because I still feel like, as much as I'm very open, I'm still a bud that needs to blossom.
Yeah.
And I want to work hard on that. And as you said earlier, learning to love yourself. I think that I gave a lot of love to Ashley in a relationship. And when Azalea came along, I gave her
all
the fullest of love.
Yeah.
And then when Azalea passed, I didn't know where to pour that love into. And then I gave it back to Ashley again.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
you
know,
put it into yourself, girl.
Then it's like, oh, I've got this big bucket of love here. Where do I pour that into? And it's now understanding, pour that into yourself. And I'm slowly doing it day by day. And it's difficult, because I love to give my love to somebody else.
Yeah.
I love cooking for you to make you happy.
Yeah.
I'm a feeder. You know, if you come into my house, I will make you food. I will make sure you're comfortable.
Like
chicken biryani, it's my favourite.
I love it, Asian. But no, I know what you mean. And the maddest thing is that healing journey is so long, and it's not consistent. It's linear. One day you're cool, the next day you're not. And when people talk about loving yourself and pouring that love into you, it's not just about loving my cellulite, loving my roles, it's all about internal love.
100%.
That space inside your heart that needs filling with real love.
I don't feel like I would be able to love somebody else, because I'm learning how to love myself. So for me, and having a partner right now, they would have to be one hell of a man.
Yeah, I fully hear you on
to
that.
Be able to kind of, for me to kind of accept them into my life, and for them to understand my life. I think that they wouldn't understand, because, and I think that's why my connection with Ashley is always so strong, because he's the only one that really understands.
Yeah.
The family are the only ones that really understand. So coming out of that, I know it's going to take a long time. It's going to be a journey. But when I get there, he better behave himself.
I'm telling you. And what do you see your future looking like? What do you want from you, really?
From me, myself, I feel like I want to change a system with childhood cancer being rare. That's a huge thing for me. While it's considered to be rare, it's going to be underfunded. Children get less than 3% of funding from our government for childhood cancer. And our children are worth more than 3%. Yeah. Like, they really are worth more than 3%. So changing that system and advancing early diagnosis for childhood cancer and bringing new treatments to the UK is number one on my list.
I love that.
Yeah, 100%. And secondary just comes with general day-to-day, you know, life, really.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Literally, you're an inspiration, but keep doing it.
Thank you.
And keep doing you, because you're literally a light to this world. But thank you so much, Sophia.
Thank you for having me, Marlene. I love you.
Thank you, love you
This
too.
Is my big sis. Let's go, Cham.
Thank you so much to Sophia for being so open, and to you right now for listening. Please follow on your favourite podcast app so you don't miss future episodes. I'll be back next week with more stories of how trauma can be positive. Thank you for listening.